This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is we are live and we are on the fourth leg of our crawfish circuit. And we have arrived at Blue Water Seafood. Clap it up here, folks. Clap it up. We're having a good time out here. There we go. There we go. It's been a fun time. We'll still be out here until 6 o'clock. There are TVs everywhere. You can come and stop by and watch the Astros take on the Royals. We'll talk about that in a second. You can watch the NBA playoffs tonight. The Lakers and the T-Wolves, they get going. There are multiple games tonight. So this is a good place to come in and have some crawfish. By the way, right now, you buy four and get one free with the crawfish. They do that every Tuesday as well, not to mention Mondays. They got a little oyster special that you don't want to miss. Three locations, any of the locations you go to, all of the specials apply. So come on out. Come and join us as we're here. We're at the location right off Highway 290. Make your way on out here and enjoy yourself with us, Clint. It's been a good time out here as always. It is 5 o'clock, and we do have a little 5 o'clock fire action. As I said, the Astros, they had a day off, and they are headed to Kansas City to play the Royals. And both teams are playing pretty well. Obviously, the Astros have won 6 of 7. They had a great homestand, exactly what they needed against the Padres and the Blue Jays, getting a day off. And then they'll take on the Royals, who have just won 4 in a row, sweeping their doubleheader they had yesterday in Kansas City. And old Hayden Wisniewski gets the ball tonight, Clint. And here is the lineup. And I wonder if Clint will be annoyed by this. But here's the lineup. Jose Altuve is in at second base, so let's have fun. I can honestly get that a little bit, Clint, because that is the biggest outfield in Major League Baseball. I know how much you don't give a damn about that. But Jose Altuve is at second base. Yordan is the DH. Paredes is batting third and playing third. Peña stays in that cleanup spot, and he is bat fourth. Christian Walker, who has been getting hot here lately, he is there. Zach DiCenzo is in left field. He is getting some run again after he has really swung the bat well here of late.
D's nuts DiCenzo, baby. Let's go.
There it is. Zach D's nuts DiCenzo. Hey, man.
He was chomping at the bit to get that one in there.
I am hoping. Hey,
you over there stopping at Jeremy Peavy and Christian Walker. Tyler's going, come on, damn it. Yeah,
He didn't play the panty dropper. He was focused.
He missed the drop.
I'm going to lie to you. Tyler. That's I've been good. Waiting for. I'm hoping he's in the lineup when Lance starts. Lance's first start.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm ready for Zach. I am poised and ready for the lineups when it comes to Zach DiCenzo. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Here's the interesting one, Clint. They're coming off the day off yesterday, and Victor Caratini is catching today. Yiner Diaz. Victor Caratini is catching today, coming off a day off. Cam Smith is in right field. Jake Meyers in center. So that's the lineup. They moved Jake back down. So.
Well, I tell you, Yiner better be careful. Yeah, the more you struggle, look, Vic has been big time clutch since he's been with the Astros, and he has swung it well, so much so to the point where they moved him, you know, got him involved a lot more last year, and to get his bat in the lineup. And the better be careful part of this thing is, man, you don't have but a couple left handed sticks in this lineup.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm not this. I don't believe in the old school way of lefty righty, all that kind of crap. I mean, but when you look up and Yordan Alvarez is the only left-handed hitter you have, I mean, Vic's ability to switch hit is could come into play here in a big way and get him more run. And right now, there's no more like Yainer Diaz being the DH is. You got to shuffle the cards completely. Yainer Diaz playing first base right now. You got two options that are better than him. With Christian Walker and obviously Zach DeZinzo. I mean, you just the ability to pull Yiner and play him in a different position to get Caratini's batting lineup isn't there. So Yiner better. I mean, there's plenty of reason for a manager to say, "Hey, man, we got to go with Caratini a little bit more than we planned on." Man. Yiner can't give him the reason him not swinging the bat.
But it's got to be a while, man.
I agree.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like he is because, like, I mean. Clint Tyler, tell me if I'm wrong, of like all of the young guys, he's got to be at the top of the list of being most promising. Like at the top
who,
of
Yiner?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
For, especially what he's shown. I mean, we've seen a guy that has hit with power over 20 home runs a couple of years ago. He was a top three finisher in the Silver Slugger Award for catcher. Like, it's got to be a while before Victor Caratini comes in and takes that.
I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying it should happen. I'm just saying Yiner better start swinging better because if this lefty gets in there and gets hot with Yiner Diaz not being able to throw my ass out at second base when I decide to steal and he's swinging the bat and he's only right-handed.
You're right. He does have to pick that up. It's behind the plate.
All of it. I mean, if you're going to struggle at the plate, man, you better be able defensively to put some things together. And you know, right now, I mean, Caratini's bringing as much, if not more, to the table, and he's been super clutch since he's been there. I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying if Yiner don't come on, an extended struggle for Yiner Diaz could mean significantly less playing time.
Yeah, he's got to pick it up, but luckily for him though, he hadn't been the only one in there struggling,
right.
So it's not such a big deal, but. Yeah, man, you start to look at it, man. He's been moving down the lineup. You got, I mean, it's not a good sign if you're Yiner Diaz and Jake Meyers is coming out and hitting ahead of you in the lineup. That's not what you want to do. Jake's hitting fifth and you're in the lineup behind him, so that's not what you want to see. But I think it is interesting. That did jump out to me coming off a day off and facing a right-handed pitcher. I mean, I get the switch hit thing, but for him to be on the bench on a day off is an interesting thought there. So that is where they're going there. Victor Caratini gets a start. We'll see if they can continue to roll on and do their thing as they will be in Kansas City over the weekend.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we look at the draft here coming up, day two of the draft, and we have talked a lot about things happening with the draft, Clint, as we will continue to do so. The Texans have 5 picks today. They've got 2 in the second round. They've got 1 right off the bat, the second pick in the second round as they've made that trade with the Giants to get to that spot. Do you get the sense that we will see the Texans use all 5 of those picks today? Do you think
no.
we will? You don't think they use all? Because these are all, we consider, premium picks.
No.
5 guys.
No. So? Look, I think you got a real chance here to come away with 3 really good picks, and if you want to get real aggressive, 3 good picks in you know the top half of the second round kind of deal. If you can find teams that'll play ball, you know, and let you move up, then they could end up with 3 better picks than we thought possible, even with the first round pick. So depending on how aggressive they want to be, I'm in for. You know, being over aggressive now that you stockpiled all these picks. If not, for what? Right? I mean, if you're not going to be aggressive at some point, why make the trade before the draft yesterday? You know what? Because I mean, we damn sure don't need 2 more 6th round picks and 7th round picks running around the damn training camp. I don't think they use all 5 of them. I think they move and shake and probably more than once.
Yeah, because I would, because that's first off, that's 5 players you got to pay, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you got the contracts you got to come up with. But I think they use 34. I'll be surprised. We heard a report coming from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. We heard a report saying that that the Texans were one of a few teams up at the top that are taking calls for people trying to trade up to get an edge rusher or wide receiver at 34. I would be surprised if they did that, but I would imagine they use that 34th pick, and I think they pair another pick of some sorts, and maybe one of those three threes, one of those to get higher up. So I would say if you were watching the draft tonight and you're a Texans fan, like, stay plugged in, right? Like, right at the beginning. They're going to have the second pick in that draft, and then you may see them come up and pick again. This could be like they did a couple of years ago where, bam, there goes C.J. Stroud, and boom, right there again, there's Will Anderson right behind it. I think we didn't see them be aggressive yesterday, Clint, but I get the feel that we may see them get aggressive today with these picks.
Well, they're positioned to. Now, I mean, I obviously was dead-ass wrong yesterday about them getting aggressive, but this football team is
but they got 10 picks, man. They got 10 in this draft right now.
That's right. I mean, whether you look at it from a total number of draft picks or you look at it from, like, where this team is at, everything screams be aggressive and get guys that can help you win this year, not draft picks for the future. So
stay tuned. Not yet. We will, at the end of the show, give you some names, all right, to put with it.
The other part of it, too, we need to circle back to is if you look at the Texans draft since Nick and DeMeco have been together, really since before DeMeco got here, boy, they have gotten some absolute game changers in the second and third round.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some of your favorite players, some of your favorite Texans players, mm-hmm. And the more productive guys have been in the second and third round. So,
yep.
Hold tight now.
Yeah, all right. We'll keep it. Also, day two, we talked about Shadur earlier. Where do you get the sense he goes? First off, there's been talk, like, could he drop out of the second round? I think he'll go in the second round. I think so. But where do you get a sense he potentially may go?
Man, I don't know. I would like to think. I mean, the evaluator in me says, if Cleveland doesn't take him, I mean, if he gets through Cleveland and New Orleans in the first four picks or five picks of the second round, we got to start talking about what the hell is going on. Like, I mean, how bad was he misevaluated, or what went on? What did Deion literally say? What did he do in an interview? Because I think he's a first round talent. Now you got quarterback needy teams.
From the coach's perspective, both of those places are. I think Kevin Stefanski is a really good offensive coach. I think New Orleans, you know, for him and indoors and everything, the one to watch to me is somebody that we know has ties that absolutely loves him.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Tom loves Shadur Sanders. He absolutely thinks the world of Shadur Sanders.
Well, they got the fifth pick.
Yeah.
And the Browns got 1 and 4. The Raiders got 5. The Titans got 3. They've already taken their quarterback. The Texans have it. So it's the Browns twice, then the Raiders in this second round. So, I mean, New Orleans has got the eighth pick.
So the Browns have 2 of them there. Yeah,
the Browns have 2. The Raiders have 1. And everybody else. So you've got the Browns with 2. You got New Orleans with 1 in the top 8. And you've got the Raiders with the fifth pick in the top 8. So the top 8. Those teams all have draft picks. Cleveland has 2, and everybody else has a quarterback. So those teams are going to have a shot at him.
Yeah. So I don't think he gets past the Raiders. The Raiders, I mean, they've got Geno, and they just gave him a contract, but that'd be a couple years, you know, him to sit, which wouldn't be bad, right there sitting in Vegas, you know, indoors out west. That wouldn't be a bad spot, Tom, in a building, for him to go to. I think Pete Carroll, somebody that Deion respects and is a good coach, so that wouldn't be a bad landing spot. But yeah, I imagine he goes early there when you look at those teams.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, Jimmy Butler. The Jimmy Butler update is, we know he injured his what was called pelvis contusion in game 2 after he was undercut by Amen Thompson and never returned to that game. And obviously the Rockets went on to tie that series up. This is coming from the Warriors. They said that Jimmy Butler, who exited Wednesday's game against the Rockets in the first quarter due to a pelvic contusion, underwent an MRI yesterday. The MRI confirmed that the injury as a pelvis and deep glute muscle contusion. His status for game 3 is questionable. All right, his status is questionable. Do you think Jimmy Butler plays in game three?
Absolutely.
Clint?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's always been a hard-nosed dude. It's playoff Jimmy. It's a muscle contusion, which is never easy, but you can work around that. It's not like it's structural or it's nerves or it's a disc or anything like that. I'll be shocked if Jimmy Butler doesn't play. Now, does it tighten up on him in critical moments? Yeah. You know, at the halftime, does he get hit in that glute right there where he landed on his on his backside? You know, that's a different animal. But yeah, I'll be shocked if he doesn't play.
It's just to me more of how effective is he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, his style of play. It'd be one thing if you're Steph Curry, you know, and you're running around, you know, free flowing. He's a back to the basket guy. He's a contact guy. He's a big defender. There's a lot of contact in his game, so I would think that there's a chance that he could get nipped, especially if the opponents were looking for it.
Yeah, no, there better be a pad or something because he's going to take one.
Right,
like, he's going to take a shot. It's just see how he reacts to it. All right,
if he comes out there with a big old ass.
Oh yeah, or
swole up pads. It looks like he's
Tyler. Have you ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Who in tights? Sorry.
Yeah, when she in the movie Robin Hood Men in Tights, they had that metal plate around her as underwear, so no dudes could get in. What if he had?
I wonder where I got two daughters. Where can
steel,
I find those?
Yeah, that steel plate covering up his ass. As soon as Dylan Brooks tried to come and drill him, the chastity belt. There you go, a steel chastity belt. Man,
I need to buy some stock in the top brand.
And Dylan Brooks coming there, and Dylan Brooks is holding his forearm because he drilled him in that thing. No, it'll be a fun one to watch as they will play coming up on Saturday. I'm sorry, on Sunday, I believe. Saturday or Sunday? No, Saturday, as they'll play game three coming up tomorrow. All right, as we continue the draft, the Texans, they'll be on the clock here coming up soon as they have the second pick in this second round. What made Clint change his tune? What made Clint change his tune on the Texans draft? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. As we are live here, the crawfish is flowing. Uh-oh, I see gloves on.
Oh no!
I see gloves on. Oh. Yeah, my man got them.
Don't call him up.
You got to keep them clean, huh? You got to keep them clean, huh?
Keep those hands clean.
He got on gloves, but no, come on out, man. We're having a great time here at Blue Water Seafood, and always a fun time. Listen up, if you are in the building or you're on your way. Our final raffle winner will be announced after this segment. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, you might want to do so you can have a chance to win. We all know who is not going to win, but there are folks that have a chance to win. I'm just saying, and Shannon, you know you're not going to win. But come on in, give yourself a chance to win as we will hook somebody up coming up as this segment ends. All right, Clint. What made you change your tune, Clint? Because the entire time we've been here, I know we have had conversations, and you're like, hey man, they got to be aggressive in this thing. Got to go up and get your guy. Go get your guy. You were like, because you said, I mean, we talked about it, I think yesterday, you got about four or five guys that are your guys. Go get your guys. What made you change your tune? Because you seem to have been comfortable with them kind of making the decision to get out of there.
Well, I think there's a handful of things. I think that for me, when I saw Booker come off the board at 12, it changed the game for me. Not only is he off the board now, but he's off the board 13 picks before it gets to you.
Banks and Booker.
Banks and, well, yeah, Banks too. I'm leaning more towards the guard, but yes, Banks as well. And then Zabel comes off the board, and so it's like,
so you ain't even paying attention to these tackles.
I'm telling you, man. I don't think that we don't need to think. It's like we've heard D'Amico and we've heard Nick talk about how difficult it is for Tytus Howard, who's done it before, to go from tackle to guard back to tackle. And we just sit around and have these conversations like, oh, we're going to draft this tackle and we're going to move him down to play guard, or we're going to plug this tackle and we're going to move another tackle that we have down to play guard. Like, it's just not – I don't think in their mind, it's as simple as a lot of people in the media make it. And so, I ignored the tackle. So, for me, I was going guard, guard, guard. They come off the board. They come off the board earlier than you imagine, than I imagine. So, then you're like, well, there's no way they're going to use the draft capital to move all the way up to, like 15 to get who they want. So, then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, wide receiver. Now, Matthew Golden. And then Matthew Golden slides, but he ends up getting drafted right before the Texans come. I thought they would move up and to get a guard. I didn't think there was any way they were going to move up to get a receiver.
Yeah.
I thought they would move up to get a guard.
You think they would wait on Golden to see if he drafts him?
I think they like Golden. I think there's several guys that they like. And I agree. By the way, when you got Nico Collins, I agree. Like, you don't – I would have liked to have seen Golden personally, but you don't necessarily need Golden. You don't need it.
It's clear it wasn't receiver, or right. At least it wasn't him, because,
yeah.
I mean, Nick said they made calls at – or either it wasn't the receiver, or they didn't want to part with what right. other teams were looking for, because he said they were making calls at the teams, and we saw Golden go at 23.
Yeah, well, I think they were making calls in the teens for guard.
Yeah,
I was never a fan of them.
Then the Tampa Bay's pick probably threw them off.
Who did Tampa take?
Emeka Abuka.
Yeah.
And they may have thrown them off. That was a place they were going to go.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I would have liked them to have been aggressive to go get a guard, like a slam dunk guard, which obviously Booker is, after hearing Saban talk about him, who's got personal experience with him. And once he came off the board at 12, it was like, man, I just don't think they're going to be – I don't think they're going to find a trade partner, be willing to part ways with the draft capital that it's going to take to get up there, and be that much in love with the player to go get him. And so I was good at sitting at 25. And then you get to 25, Matthew Golden comes off the board, and you're like, man, what are they going to do? I mean, yeah. do you take a receiver there? Do you take another guard there? And they decide to trade out. I immediately thought, you know, I'm not messed up about it. I'm okay with the way the board fell. I'm okay with it. And then when I look at what was drafted from 25 down, there was one defensive tackle drafted that is even a position of need for the Texans between 25 and 32. And so who was you know, beating their chest about the Texans taking a defensive tackle? Literally, it went Jackson Dart, James Pierce Jr., edge, you don't need that. Malachi Starks, safety, you don't need that. Tyleek Williams, Ohio State, defensive tackle there, that maybe that was somebody you liked. Josh Connerly Jr., offensive tackle. Maxwell Harrison, cornerback. Jaheed Campbell, linebacker. And Josh Simmons, offensive tackle. I mean, there's nothing that came off the board there, in my opinion, with the way I'm wired to help the Texans. There's nothing that came off the board from 25 to 32 there that makes me go, damn, you missed out. Now, if you wanted to be aggressive and go get Golden or something, then okay, then you'd be pissed that they didn't get aggressive. Cool, I'm good with that. But the move down did not hurt them from 25. All their positions of need, all of those players are still on the board, and you've got to pick number two overall, and you've got capital that you can move up if you want to from your later pick.
I think we're just in a place of a couple of things. What are you? What are you, and what are you trying? Are you a team that's trying to compete, win your division, or are you a team that's trying to go deeper? And to me, you put yourself in a situation going into the draft, in my opinion, maybe some others disagree, you put yourself in a position where you are in a dire need for offensive line starting help that you can feel comfortable about. Dire need. And I thought it was so much so that you had to be aggressive. And as soon as they start rolling, you got all these picks. You got these picks from the Tunzel trade. You got multiple – you got all these picks. To me, like, all right, they start going. I got my eye on that kid from North Dakota State. And that's going to be the one I'm going to plug in. I got to get to where I need to get there in front of him. Because of what you did in the offseason, you put yourself in a situation where you are in a dire need. So right now, where they are, Clint, they haven't got an offensive line at this moment that you look at it and say, hey, we got an offensive line that's ready to go right now and compete at the highest level. And they haven't even, to me, up at least to this point, said, all right, we got guys that's ready to compete for the future. Like right now, we'll see what they do in this second and third round. But Cam Robinson is a one-year contract. Lincoln Tomlinson, that's not a long-term
deal. Ed is not a long-term deal. But, like, Titus is even on a, what, you could, one or two more years. The only long-term play they have, the only long-term plays that they have right now is Juice Scruggs and Blake Fisher, right? That's it right now. And, hell, we don't even know if they're going to start, right? Patterson may have as good a chance to start at center than Juice does. I just think where they put themselves going into the draft from an offensive line perspective, to me, felt like you were talking yesterday in the week leading into it, is they need to be aggressive. That's where I am. As we sit here, Clint, we are running out of time to add to this offensive line. And it is. We've gone through free agency and now the first round of the draft.
Well, look, I don't think they feel this way, but
I know they don't.
I'm gonna get into the rearview mirror here for a minute. Like, this is what you're talking about is precisely why when you have the ability to be aggressive in free agency and go get for sure guys, and you pass those guys up and you put yourself in a position where you got to feel true needs in a draft situation. Like right now, Gray Zabel went at 18, Ron. Seattle, I mean, obviously was O-line needy. They weren't going to trade that. Shamar Stewart went ahead of them with the Bengals. They were defense needy. They're not going to move down to 25. None of these teams are willing to move down to 25. They're all picking that way in a place because they're so needy, right? Like moving up to that degree, to that level, you put yourself in a position where the draft was not going to, I guarantee you that the calls were made. They could not pull a deal off.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they put themselves in a position and obviously they have a point in which they will not go past. And I'm just saying they put themselves in a position to.
And that's a very fair overall evaluation of the Texans right now. You have got your new O-line coach, your new offensive coordinator, and your quarterback have to do more with less. And to be honest with you, they're not a second-round draft pick away from me changing that opinion.
And listen, they may find the Kamari Lassiter version of a guard in the second round.
Yeah.
They may find that stuff, but I'm just saying you are making it harder for yourself. You didn't, as you said, you bypassed the stuff to get for show, and the most for show you got, what is that? The most for show you got is Cam Robinson. And now you've gone to the first round, and then it's like, all right, let's hope these second round guys, I don't know what the hell that is, but let's hope these second round guys can make the change and the difference for them. All right. Let's talk about those second round guys as we'll get you T Mills best bets. We'll make a little cash for you tonight. As he 50% last night. 50% last night. So not too bad. And I know you're pissed off about John Morant falling down hard. That he looked like he was well on his way, Tyler, to getting that 24.5 cleared for you until he got injured. So
was not ideal.
Yeah, it was not ideal. It was tough, but we'll make you some cash as best bets going into the weekend, and we will look at it. We will look at the guys that maybe we think they should go after with these second and third round picks. That's next.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
That big Nick energy.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live. Clap it up, folks. Clap it up. It's been a good time. Even my man, my man with the gloves. You ain't got to clap, man. Eat your crawfish. Eat your crawfish, man. You ain't got to clap. There you go. There you go. Hey, he's raising a roof on him, maybe. We've had a really good time. Congratulations to our final winner, Shannon. Those of you in our radio audience, that's Shannon. Congratulations to Shannon. Yeah, she's been to all four legs. All four legs. Her and her husband vowed to go to all 10 of them. So congratulations to her and all our winners. I do want to say first, we appreciate Blue Water Seafood. It's been a great, great time here. The staff has been fantastic. Shout out to Christian and everybody, the Ping family. They have been great as well. Again, guys, three multiple locations, one in Cypress, the original one, Champion, also the one in Spring. And as obviously you can come to this one here that is off Highway 290. It's been a good time here. Again, all the specials, all the deals, Mother's Day
special great crab legs. That's coming up as well. All those specials go with all of the locations. So we appreciate and enjoy everything they've done to help us get it. Also, our promo staff. We appreciate them as they have helped us. Give them a hand, our promo staff. There we go. Our engineer, Matt, who helps us keep us on the air, and as well on YouTube and Twitch. Tyler back at the station holding us down. There you go. We got a Tyler fan in the building holding us down. There we go. Well, I don't know.
And he's a Longhorn, Tyler.
And he's a Longhorn. So,
you
know,
that's unfortunate.
Look, if you've got a Longhorn that still likes you, boy, you must be in good with him, man. They must really think highly of you.
I wonder if it's the Longhorn I met at the draft party last night.
James?
There you go. You met your horn at the party last night?
I did.
Well, that's good. Well, there you go. Horns and Aggies together again. That's what it's all about. All right, Clint. We'll, as I said, coming up behind us, the continued coverage of our draft coverage right here on Sports Radio 610. Night two is coming up right behind us. Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans. John Harris, as I've said, man, there's nobody more locked in and knowledgeable about these players. And right now, Clint, you get into the second and third round and later, this is when John really steps into his expertise. There'll be Texans legends and interviews with the drafted Texans coming up. Hopefully we have some drafted Texans tonight. I would assume we will have multiple ones tonight. And also stay tuned over the weekend as we will cover it on Sports Radio 610 as well. Throughout the weekend, and as I said in the break, you got a chance to win a little money. Tyler will set you up right. All right, Clint, as we go in here, day two, the draft is going to get started. I think the Texans are probably going to pick here in the next 30 minutes or so. Where do you see them going tonight? There are a lot of options, and they have a lot of picks and a lot of things they could do. They've got the pick at 34, which is the second pick coming out of the second round. They have another second-round pick and then three third-round picks. Where are some spaces? Where are some places you want to see them go in this second round or day two, second and third round coming up today?
Well, you know, depending on how, you know, they this thing's laid out, I don't know exactly which Nick Caserio and them will know the you know which teams need what and you know. Taking that into consideration, when I look at what's out there, the best available, overall best available players, there's a couple of offensive linemen that I really like, but really the running backs and the wide receivers are ahead of them. But the offensive linemen, I'll go in this order. There's two of them. Both of them are from Georgia. There's a center, Jared Wilson. There's a guard, Tate Ratledge. And both of those guys, we talk about the guard, you know, guards playing tackle. I don't buy into that. You got to be a special dude to play tackle and guard, right? And typically those are guys that are tackles that go into guard and then bounce back out. So I'm more interested in guys that can play center, guard, center, either side. You can play any of the interior three positions, right? The center from Georgia right now, Jared Wilson, is one I really, really like. It would be nothing for him to play guard as well. And the best guard available right now, Tate Ratledge, again, another Georgia guy. Hell, I think all three of Georgia's interior offensive linemen are available and will be drafted probably today. But those two guys right there, I think, are potential targets for this first pick that the Texans have in the second round. As I said before, I don't know from a rating standpoint if the running backs and the wide receivers may rate higher. And so maybe they're made priority in that top second round pick that they have, and a couple of those that are available. Depending on what route you want to go, I'll give you a handful of them. Travion Henderson out of Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State, both of those guys are available. Dylan Sampson, Breshard Smith, and Jadon. We talked about Blue out of Texas. Mm-hmm. Again, those are probably third round picks. Breshard Smith's probably third or fourth, maybe even fourth round pick, maybe even later. But these are guys that I think the Texans, starting with Henderson and Judkins, could potentially be interested in. And the wide receivers are the big one. This is the one that's big for me. There's some really, really good wide receivers available, and there's some really, really good wide receivers that are really fast available. The best receiver available right now is Trey Harris, the kid out of Ole Miss. I like him. I'm not in love with him. But then you get into Luther Burden III, speedster.
A lot of people thought he would be a first-rounder.
Yeah, and I know there's some concerns about, does he fit what Nick and D'Amico are doing? Is he a little bit of a problem? I don't know if he's got that swarm in him. Yeah, I don't know. But
first one of the day.
I'm talking speed here. Luther Burden, Kyle Williams out of Washington State, the Ty Felton kid out of Maryland, I believe, is a good one. And then I don't know how to say this kid's name, but the kid out of Florida is an absolute burner. He's, again, maybe that's a late third, maybe it's a fourth round pick. I don't know exactly, but when you talk about best available wide receivers, those are some of the names that I think you may see the Texans target right there. I, if it were me, I'd like to see Jared Wilson, center guard, and I'd like to see Kyle Williams out of Washington State. Those would be my two guys that I'd love for the Texans to get their hands on this second round.
Yeah, we should come out of this thing. I know that Nick, and I know this drives you crazy, Clint. I know Nick claims that they don't draft for need. I'll be damned if we don't see them come out of this day with at least a wide receiver and an offensive lineman. They can spend it however they want to spend it.
What do you think Nick did with 25? Did he draft best available?
No.
Bingo. So you missed me with that best available crap. Right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's the deal. Like, it didn't make sense, so he bounced.
Yeah, he bounced out of there.
The best available stuff is silly, right? I mean, there's certain teams, when you're a bottom feeder, you can best
just
available.
Could, well, maybe just could pass up on that deal from the Giants.
Yeah, right? Just couldn't pass up on that on the extra picks. If you're a bottom feeder, yeah, you draft best available because it's probably a need as well. But right now, like I said, there was nobody drafted after 25 that the Texans were targeting. Nobody.
Yes, listen. The Texans, listen, I will say this. I am disappointed how they have decided from the end of the season to handle their offensive line situation and their weapons situation, to be honest with you. But that doesn't mean they can't go out here and get some good players. Again, I have said this from the jump. I have confidence in this group that they will find the receiver. Like, they've done that, right? You've talked about it. Tank Dell is in the third round. They moved up and saw him and got him. And outside, obviously, and this is a big deal, the injuries, Tank Dell has been a really, really good player out of the third round. Nico Collins is a top five receiver the way he played the last 2 years. Obviously, in the third round, they moved up to get him excellent value. I know we maybe look at Xavier Hutchinson a certain way, but that's a six-round pick who's playing in playoff games for you the last 2 years. There is value. So they have found receivers. It's that offensive line, Jack. Their history is Kenyon Green. Their history is Juice Scruggs. And, they have had some struggles in that spot, to bring in. Like, Shaq Mason was all right year one, but wasn't great. The guy they had from Jacksonville before that, they have just not been able to hit that position as well as other positions in the draft. So they have a chance to go ahead and get some guys to be real contributors to this team. So that should be exciting to see that tonight. All right, Tyler, let us know what are the best bets for you tonight. What are T-Mill's best bets? How can you make the folks some money tonight?
We're going to switch it up a little bit. Has not been the best week of best bets. Hadn't been the worst either, though.
Yeah, but you finished strong, damn it.
Yes, that's damn right, Ron. Going to finish strong. I got five baseball bets for you on a Friday night. And, yes, the Astros are involved. Here are your five bets. If you miss any of them, you can go to my Twitter at @TMILRealDeal where I post it daily. First off, I'm on the Reds money line. Cincinnati traveling to Colorado, taking on the Rockies. I got it at -115. Then I'm on the Twins -1 run as they host the Angels tonight. Then an over for you, Marlins at Mariners. Over 7.5 runs in that game tonight. Last two right here are Astros related. I'm on the Astros team total, over 3.5 runs. Hopefully those bats stay awake like we've been seeing. And then the big man, y'all know I do this one a lot. Made a lot of money on it last season. I'm sure we will again this year. Yordan Alvarez, over 1.5 total bases versus the Royals this evening. Those are your best bets. Are there any that you hate or love, boys?
Well, I like the Reds' money line with the Rockies. The Rockies are struggling mightily, and they've got a bad pitcher tonight. So I like the Reds' money line, and I like Yordan, 1.5 bases. I like that.
It's hard not to bet that every time, man. I mean, you get a double cash in.
And now he's not exactly been putting them away, though. I mean, but
no, fair, yeah.
But it is hard to not to look at that thing He's not about to get out of it. So, yeah, I like those two. Ain't bad. Ain't bad with those two. Again, coming up behind us, our draft coverage continues. Mark Vandermeer, Johnny Harris, many, many others. Texans legends will be a part of this thing. They will hear, you will hear interviews, you will hear them first, right as they're drafted. You will hear those guys right here on Sports Radio 610. So stay tuned as we will hand this thing right off to our ongoing NFL draft coverage, and we'll see what the Texans, and be listening, the Texans have the second pick in this draft, and we'll see what they do. Hopefully they add some really good pieces to give them a shot here moving forward this year. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Everybody here, great job. We have had a great time here. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Zach DiCenzo is in left field. Really swung the bat well here of late.
These nuts DiCenzo, baby. Let's go.
There it is, Zach. These nuts DiCenzo. Hey, I like it, man.
He was chomping at the bit to get that one in there.
Oh, I was.
Go over there stopping at Jeremy Pena and Christian Walker. Tyler's going, come on, damn it.
Yeah, he was smoking.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.